Ireland's Classic Hits Radio. How are you doing? It's Trina Mara. Sophie McCartney available to take a call at this time because presumably children are in school. Hello, Sophie.
Hi. Yes, they are. I'm on my own. It's brilliant. It's lovely. I've had a couple of coffees that were warm and I'm just ready and raring to go.
Isn't this the time of day that mammies just absolutely love? Now, I'm not saying that you're sitting back and doing nothing, but
no,
you get half a second to go to the toilet by yourself.
Do you know what? It's so lovely. And you feel, I was going to say you feel guilty. I don't feel guilty because I'm like three kids in now. So I think I probably would have felt guilty if I just had one child and they'd gone off to school or childcare. And I'd be like, oh, I just feel so bad taking time for myself. But now I've got three of them. I'm like, see you, losers. Mommy loves you so much. Like, so much. Mummy would just start a fight in a pub for you. But I also just enjoy just this very sacred, special time of just being on my own. And yeah, it is. It's just like being able to go to the toilet and not being watched. I mean, I have a dog who comes with me,
yeah,
but I don't mind that as much. Yeah.
It's funny because my daughter's school, my daughter is seven, and in the school they've started to do a lot of kind of like the teachers will put on a club after school for 40 minutes. And you're kind of thinking, is it worth my while doing this for 40 minutes? But then you're like, 40 minutes, I could literally have a cup of coffee and stroll down.
Those extra 40 minutes, honestly, my poor child, she does the most ridiculous after school clubs that she's got no interest in whatsoever. But I'm like, no, it costs mummy about £6 for you to do that. That's an absolute cracking steal for childcare costs. So off we go.
I mean, yeah.
Off you go to go and do dancing in the dark in your school hall. Mommy doesn't care. Bye.
Oh, there's some made up activities, all right, isn't there? The problem is, you see, if you get involved in the school too much, you need to make sure that you're away from the school, because if they spot you, they'll want you on the committees and everything, and you'll never have the time again.
No, I have actually very successfully managed thus far to stay away from all of that. One of my friends, she got completely done over. One of her friends said to her, oh, just pop in and see, you know, when what the Christmas activities are. Mm. And she went in and she didn't realise that it was actually a PTA meeting. And now she's enlisted. Her name's been put onto the group and she can't get out of it. And I'm like, nah.
She's in a WhatsApp group. Oh, good luck. Error. No, that's the end of her life now.
That's her now for the next 7 years. Her little one's only just started in reception. So he's only just turned five. There's no escape for her now. Whereas I'm just all on the peripheries of it.
Literally needs to move school to get out of that now.
She does. I'm not even. So my eldest, when he went to primary school, I went on the, you know, like the class WhatsApp group. And then when my daughter went 3 years after, I went, no, I'm not even going on the class WhatsApp group. I don't need to, because everything that goes on, I know from there. So yeah, I just refuse to be on it.
Yeah.
So because
I find on the class WhatsApp group, I find that other parents, they get all the information for you anyway. So you don't really need to know when there's a sports day on or whatever. You don't need to communicate with the teacher because somebody else will find out for you. You don't need to be organised.
Exactly. And I am that friend as well within the friendship group. And to be honest, I'm perfectly fine being that friend that is scatty and disorganised. And all my friends know this about me. So they will preemptively send me the message a day in advance going, it's own clothes day tomorrow. It's like, it's International Stroke a Donkey Day tomorrow. Bring a quid. So that's fine. And I'm okay with that.
So we could be talking to any parent here, really, when we're describing the day-to-day life that you have. But we must introduce you to our audience. This is comedian Sophie McCartney, and she has got the Tired and Tested show. I'm sure everyone is very familiar with the sketches that you do about real life.
Well, do you know what? I do always kind of have this little mantra of saying, well, you know, especially as a parent, you know, the really awful things that happen on a day-to-day basis that you just want to cry about, that actually, do you know what? Turn the tears of despair into tears of laughter. And I think that's just, you know, if you can't just laugh about it, I would think some of the things that happen, you know, if you take yourself out of a situation and objectively look at it, if it wasn't happening to you, if you were watching it on a TV show, you'd probably find it hilarious. And that's just what I try and tell myself. And so a lot of the sketches that I do are taken from the real life situation that, you know, that my daughter's like, I love her so much, but she's just turned 9 and she's so savage. She looks at my skin. She said to me the other day, she went, oh, what are those holes in your face? And I said, oh, they're my pores. They're just like these kind of little dots. And she went, well, they're not little, are they? And I was like, oh, God, okay.
They're honest. They're too honest, aren't they?
I know. Like Googling Botox for enlarged pores.
Stop.
My confidence is through the floor.
And have you always been funny? Because you've been described as the funniest mom on Instagram.
Yeah, well, I got into it in about 2017, which was just after my daughter was born. And I started doing online stuff first. And then went and started doing some stand-up, and I kind of dipped my toe into that world, and I really enjoyed it. And then we went into lockdown, couldn't get out and do my stage stuff, so then went back to doing things online, and yeah, it all kind of snowballed from there. But I think, I don't know, I've always kind of aspired to do comedy, but to be honest, never felt brave enough. And I think probably that's actually one of the really good things about social media. I know there's a lot of bad things and there's a lot of negativity that goes with social media, but actually in terms of kind of putting yourself out there and getting a bit of a name for yourself and finding your people, finding your tribe and finding your audience, it's actually brilliant for that, because the people who follow me are, you know, people who are in very similar life situations to me, find the same things funny, and you know, then they can all come on a night out and come and see me in the real world, and that's just great. It's like this lovely little community that we've built, so we can all kind of share our ups and downs and laugh together.
Yeah. So what did you do before you did this then?
Oh, I used to work in PR. That was my
thing. Did you?
I was so, yeah, I did. I know you would have had some, you'd have chatted to some PR girls like me in the past, just trying to, you know, really upsell.
Flog your wares.
Yeah, flog it. Exactly. I was like a double glazing salesman. That was great. You know, that was kind of me. And I had very glamorous clients. I used to have a fish finger brand. You know,
lovely.
I won't go into it, other fish fingers are available. But I think a professional low point was having to go and do a big kind of media tour. I was in London and having to do this big media tour with one of my friends dressed in a big foam fish finger and trying to get into all the radio stations with this gigantic foam fish finger. And I think probably around about that point, I thought, this isn't the career for me. This isn't what I felt destined to do. And I always had that in the back of my mind.
We've seen it all.
It didn't feel right.
Yeah, we've seen it all. So, and, you know, I mean, sometimes I get, I was only saying to the girl who was looking after your PR for this, I was saying, now send me a WhatsApp, because if you email me, I literally get thousands of emails every day and I just can't get through them. And normally like that, it is somebody trying to get on to talk about the fish fingers. And it's like,
exactly.
How do you actually filter this out? But I feel so sorry for people who are working in PR and they desperately need to get on to talk about the fish fingers.
They need to. Yeah. And my favourite thing, my go-to tool was, I used to create a day. And I'm sure you'd have had this, and all the people who message you going, oh, you know, it's world. So I would have done like, it's World Fish Finger Day, or, you know, and it's not. That's not a thing. let's not dress this up. It's something that I did. I worked for a company, something to do with cat healthcare.
So
I worked with all, I had all the really high end,
all the glamorous ones.
I went into PR because I really enjoyed watching Absolutely Fabulous. That was my career info. So yeah, and then I got into it and I was doing PR for fish fingers and things to stop cats from wetting themselves on bonfire night. And I realised that it wasn't the life for me. But yeah, I did the world's biggest cat nap was what I did. That was another career high. And I just got a load of duvets in Spitalfield Market in London and put them on the floor and tried to get the press to come along, and they were like, no.
Jeez, we must get a few ideas from you how to market the radio station. So you never know what this one might come up with.
Exactly.
World. If she has World Fish Finger Day, you never know. I love the fact that this is so like me, right? You're secretly thrilled when a friend cancels plans to go out. So in a night out, there's nothing better than getting that text when you find out that the night out has been cancelled. It's brilliant.
Oh, and do you know what though? And I, it's a really weird position for me. So I've just turned 40, and I'm not going to lie, I'm not dealing with it greatly, but I knew that I wouldn't. I knew that I was going to have a bit of a wobble, but I find that kind of 40 is just this weird place that you don't, I don't know, I feel like I don't belong anywhere. I'm still kind of clinging to my 30s.
Yeah, well, if you go to a nightclub, Sophie, you basically look like you're collecting your teenage daughter. This is the issue, I think.
Exactly. And you're like, you're standing there and people think that you're either trying to start a fight because you're looking people up and down, but actually you're thinking, is that trendy now? Like, is this what all the kids are wearing? And you just feel like this fish out of water. And,
yeah.
You know, are
skirts really supposed to be that short? My God.
I know. But you find yourself saying things that your own parents would have said, that you swore, you promised yourself that you would never say, and there you are saying exactly the same things, and it's like a real shock to the system. So actually, when you kind of, you know, you've got something in the diary and then when it doesn't happen, you are a little bit like, oh, but also I can put my comfies on and I can just watch something on Netflix and have a lovely time eating snacks, and that is the confliction, isn't it? You know, you kind of want to go out, you've got a little bit of FOMO but not enough to actually get you out of over
I know.
The line.
And if you haven't gotten ready, it's even better. Like if you're leaving it to the last minute, hoping that it might be cancelled, because you're thinking in your head all the excuses that you could give not to go. And then when it's a last minute cancellation, and you haven't gotten ready yet, even better, because you don't have the bother of taking off the makeup and all the... Yeah.
Exactly. And if you haven't washed your hair, like nowadays, I'm just like a once a week kind of gal. And the rest of the time, it's just pulled up in just the nastiest mum bun on the top of my head, to the point where my daughter said, I picked her up from school the other day, and she just looked at me and she just went, Mum, do you think you could maybe try and do a different hairstyle when you pick them up? It's like, oh, no. There's a week's worth of Batiste in this. It's fine. You can't smell it yet. It's all good.
Yeah. And you know what? I did notice. Now, you're very glamorous, though, in fairness, and you know how to do the makeup. I do not know how to do makeup like all the young ones know how to do now. All this contouring and 55 products that you need.
Oh, well, apparently contouring isn't trendy anymore.
Oh, isn't it?
So I do know how to do makeup, but I know how to do makeup from circa 2010. Like I haven't upgraded my skills since then. And apparently, all of that, according to Gen Z, is not trendy anymore. So smoky eyes. I think I spent maybe 10 years trying to perfect my house fire eyes. And apparently now that was just a complete waste of my time, because apparently that is not trendy. And all the Kardashian style contouring, they don't do that now.
Oh,
and
do they not?
Your big fluffy eyebrows. No, apparently that's not in. It's kind of like less is more.
I was just about to try and learn that. And that's actually gone. Okay.
Knock it on the head.
So really, I'm the one in fashion. Is that it? Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I'm just going to stick to my 2010 makeup though, because everything comes around again eventually, doesn't it?
Yeah.
So there's no point trying to upskill. I'm just going to stick where I am, and probably by the next time I actually go out and leave the house again, it might be trendy again. So
yeah, because we're already thinking like our Christmas party is happening here in work on the 13th of December. This is such a big event for me now. I need to start thinking about it now compared to years ago when you had an hour's notice and you could be ready and out the door.
No. Especially when gravity's no longer on your side in the face department. Have you picked something with sequins as well? I feel that that's now the middle-aged mum outfit, isn't it?
I tried on a dress.
Range.
I tried on a dress in town at the weekend, sequins one, and it still looks shocking on me. It was too short. Couldn't wear it.
It's sequins, isn't it? Sequins and leopard print. That is now just, if you're going out, that's the mum night out uniform, isn't it? You've got to have a bit of leopard. It used to be jeans and a nice top, didn't it? You always used to go out. That was staple, jeans and a nice top. But I think it's now been upgraded to some kind of pleather pant as well, hasn't it? So you've got your pleathers on the bottom, because you need white proof trousers at a certain age nowadays. Don't you just never know what's going to happen on your mum's night out, that you need to be able to just clean your trousers really quickly, and a leopard print top as well.
That's it. You're sorted.
All coming a mile off.
Yeah, there's certain shops as well that you start shopping in. Like there's certain clothes shop that you never step foot in anymore that you used to live in, and you suddenly realise that you're going into the shops that are targeted at the more mature lady.
Mature ladies, yeah. I remember my mum loves a bit of Phase 8, and I remember like 10 years ago my mum loved a bit of Phase 8, and then I was like on John Lewis website, I was like, oh, that Phase 8 dress is really nice, and I went, ooh, it's happened.
What's that now? We don't have that now in Ireland, but probably like a Debenhams or something, is it?
Yeah, it's like it's what used to be. I think it used to be in Debenhams, because we don't have, do you still have a Debenhams over
No, not
Ireland?
Anymore, it's gone now.
Yeah, they've all gone. That's quite sad, isn't it? I used to love a bit of Debenhams. But yeah, it would have been a concession somewhere like Debenhams or John Lewis. But I think they might be a shop in their own right now. Really nice. But if I was describing it now, I'd be like, really nice mum clothes. get yourself online and find some of the Phase 8.
Oh, gas. So you're coming to town. You're going on tour. Tell me all.
I am. Oh my gosh, I'm so excited about my Ireland run. So I've never actually been over to Dublin and done stand-up. I've not been in the Republic of Ireland to do stand-up before, and I am so excited because everyone tells me just how much of a good time that I am going to have over there with you guys. I've been to Belfast before, and to be fair, Belfast was also banging. And I came away from my Belfast gig going, I just had such a lovely time in Belfast. Everyone's hilarious in Ireland. This is what I've learned. I think actually I'm probably the least funny person when I come over to Ireland. I'm just like, no, I'm not funny. You lot are just all banging. But yeah, I am. I'm bringing the one foot in the rave stand-up comedy tour, and it's pretty much, I guess it's just what we've been talking about. It is just kind of where I am now in my life as a newly turned 40-year-old woman, and just all the challenges that I am now faced with, the kind of life crises that I'm imposing on myself, my complete lack of identity, because people tell you, don't you? Like, I've heard this loads, that you hit 40 and you're meant to really find yourself. People go, oh, your 40s are great. It's that kind of decade where you don't really care. You know, you're just happy to live your life and just get on with things. But I actually, I'm really struggling with it because, you know, for all these years, I've kind of had this identity as, you know, like I'm a mom, and I'm now kind of, you know, my kids are getting a bit older, and I'm, you know, got a career that I'm looking forward to and getting back into the swing of things. And I don't feel like I fit anywhere. And I really struggle with that. So it's kind of going into that a little bit and, you know, exploring maybe what the expectations of a 40-year-old woman in society are versus the reality of things as well.
Yeah. So you're going to be at the Ambassador in Dublin on the 9th of March. I'm looking at the dates. You have got so many dates going right across the UK. You're practically working nonstop for February, for March, for April, for May, June. You get a bit of time off. Oh, is that during the school holidays in July and August?
Yeah.
She even has to plan her tour around the school holidays. There's a true mammy.
I know.
And then back at it.
I know. Well, that's it. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a lot, but it's, March I'm affectionately referring to as hell month, because I'm doing 4 to 5 shows a week for pretty much all of March. So yeah, it's pretty full on, but I'm excited. I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah. Yeah. Are you related to the McCartneys, as in Paul fame and Stella?
I am.
Yeah,
I'm the lesser known McCartney. I'm the rubbish McCartney, like quite far down the pecking order. In the hierarchy of all the good McCartneys, I'm pretty somewhere kind of towards the bottom.
But, so how are you related then? What's the connection?
So Paul is my dad's first cousin, so he would be my second cousin. I don't know all we do with the removed.
Yeah,
I don't know kind of how
I don't
works,
understand that, yeah.
No,
Paul,
but
we're
just
dad's first
my dad's first.
That's pretty cool,
yeah,
isn't
they
it?
Kind of, they grew up together, and it's cool. But I always say, you know, it's weird having somebody like that in your family, because in one hand, it's very motivating to see, you know, somebody that has come from your own blood be so successful, and it does make you think, well, wow, anything is possible, you know, things feel attainable. And then you also look at how amazing he is and how successful he is, and you go, God, I'll never be that successful. no matter what any of us in our family do in life, we will never be as successful as a Beatle. And, you know, that's fine. You've just got to step away from that at some point and go, fair enough. Yeah.
And there we were talking about fashion and not being fashionable, and the cousin is Stella McCartney. What are we like?
I know. Yeah, she's a lot more trendy than I am. I don't think that she's going out in her sequins and
she knows what to wear for the Christmas party for sure. Yeah,
she does. Maybe I need to tap her up and see whether I can, whether she can sort me out. I say that for my Christmas party, which will be sat in my house watching Netflix.
I was going to say,
if she's got some really lovely pyjamas.
A Christmas party for one, basically. Sounds like heaven,
exactly.
To be honest.
Yeah, if she could do me some pyjamas with pockets, that would be the absolute ideal.
I feel like I'm talking to myself. You were so like me, Sophie. Look, how can we follow you, and where are you and all that, and how can we listen to your podcast? Give me all the details.
All the details. Well, you can listen to the podcast is called Tide and Tested with Sophie McCartney. So you can listen to that wherever you get your podcasts. I've taken a brief hiatus, and that is coming back. I'm about to actually go and record the next episode this afternoon. So that is coming back very, very shortly. But if you've never listened before, there is a whole back catalogue of episodes that you can listen to. You can follow me on Instagram. I am Tide and Tested on there. Same on Facebook. And if you want to come and see me, you can go to livenation.co.uk, and there is a link there for all my Irish dates. Find a date there. So I'm in Cork, Dublin and Belfast. So
I didn't even mention Cork. I didn't mention Cork. Hang on, let me get the date for Cork. Where is it?
So I'm on the 7th.
Oh, yes. Sorry, the 7th of March, Cypress Avenue.
Yeah. And then 8th up in Belfast, and then back down Dublin on the 9th. So I'm doing a right little road trip.
Great. Yeah. Well, look, if you follow us, we'll follow you. How about that?
Perfect.
On social media. Got to get the follows up, Sophie. You know what I mean?
You've got 100%. You've got to fight that algorithm. It's
absolutely. And if you've any spare fish fingers in the freezer, send them over. They're always handy for dinner.
Exactly. And of course, if you need anything to stop your cat from wetting, like having a wee on your sofa or anything, I'm also the gal for that.
Talk to her backstage. Thanks so much, Sophie. Lovely to chat.
All right.
See you now.
And you. Bye. Take care. Bye.
It's Ireland's Classic Kids Radio.